everybody doing? Faith Builders Church, you rock. Boy, I tell you, I've seen good things on Facebook. Pastor Barb was so right. Wednesday nights are rocking. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing of God. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a God that comes on Wednesday nights, too? If you're not a part of Wednesday night service, I'm going to tell you, get in before you can't get in, because it's going to be going and growing, and I love it. Wednesday nights are always special, family, because you know what? It's kind of just like the homies. So we got to get more of the homies on Sunday to Wednesday also. Amen. But anyway, how are you guys? You know, you're all rocking after this great praise and worship today. You know, say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus too. You know, I just want to tell you this morning, and you know, I think we hear it every time we turn the TV on, but I'm going to say it again. You know, Jesus is in love with you, and he's got good things in store for you. Before I give you my title, you know, I just want to say, and I really mean this with all of my heart, a better day is coming. A better day is coming. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we're walking in that better moment, right, at the moment, amen? But better days are coming. Why? Because Jesus says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, amen? And then if we, what? If we are diligent in waiting upon the Lord, the reward is going to follow. Come on, somebody say amen out there. You know, a better day is coming, and we're equipped. One thing I love about this church is after being in this church for, well, since we founded it 12 and a half years ago, not here, but we've moved since then from the west side here. But I'm going to tell you something. Bishop Pruitt always lays a strong foundation, amen? And so, you know, we don't get wishy-washy stuff from the pulpit. We teach who you are and that you're a warrior in Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, and Pastor Barb teaches that we're a warrior, and Pastor Paul teaches that we're warriors because we're warriors in the kingdom of God. And you know what? Not just because we're being taught it, it's because James says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Am I telling you the truth? We are equipped for battle, and I'm so excited about that today. And the reason that we're equipped, because the Bible says, what? That we can do, say it again, we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. So my message this morning is, and I'm always using the title breakthrough. I went to look at my message, it's like breakthrough this, breakthrough that, but it's true, amen, breakthrough is great. But how do we become a breakthrough Christian? Come on. Or a breakthrough champion? How many more this morning, by a wave of hand, want to be a champion in the kingdom of God? Well, I want to give you some points today to how to make that happen. You know, we don't just give our lives to Christ, family, and become that champion warrior that we need to be. It doesn't mean that it's the greater one's not in the inside of us. It just means there's some principles that's laid down for us as born-again believers that we have to walk through. There's some hurdles, family, that we have to cross over. There's some detours along the way. But I'm going to tell you something. When we follow God, listen, we're going to become the spiritual champions that we need to be. And I just thank God for that. So again, I just want to say I'm going to share a few of those things that make it possible. Number one, for breakthrough, you must be a pioneer. I actually looked up that word, and you know what it means? It means you need to be a forger. You need to be established in the things from God. So the very first thing, I want to talk to you about the greatest thing outside of giving our hearts to Christ today is one of the things that we must forge our way in, and that's our praise to our Father. You know, I hope this morning I didn't look around, but I hope you weren't just a spectator thinking that's good music. Yeah, that witnesses to me, but that you actually entered in, you know, put on the garment of praise. You know, we don't just walk in, amen, and just get the garment of praise put on. We have to manifest that praise. We have to put that garment on. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, I know that when I talk about entering into that praise by faith, that there's a lot of people, without showing me your hands today, that you're in a desperate situation. I understand that. Some of us came in today and said, but you don't understand, Pastor Gloria. I feel kind of hopeless this morning. I feel like I've lost my way. But the good news is you're here today. You know, you're still forging the way, even though we don't operate in the spirit of feelings, amen? We operate under the anointing of our Father God. That's what we have to do. I just want to bring a story to you, just a little bitty story, and you might remember it. It's in Judges 20:18, And this is what it said. The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said, quote, who of us is going up first? Say first, because there's always first fruit, amen? Who's going to go up first to fight against the Benjamites? That's what they asked. And what did they do? The Bible says that they sent Judah first. Who is Judah? Come on, say it again. Judah is praise. You see, they sent the praise worshipers out in front. Because in order to be the champion breakthroughers that we need to be, not even looking at the circumstances in which we're in, not feeling the emotions of where we're at, but we go in, we enter into that holy of holies, and we begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's when we enter into that place is where we get our deliverance. It's when we enter into that place where we get the breakthrough that you and I need. Somebody better shout me down this morning. I'm not going to let a Pentecostal church just sit back and look at me. Amen. But the Lord replied, Judah shall go up first. And so that's what they did. They sent Judah. Now listen, family, I want to tell you something. Music and praise is the most utmost thing to our Heavenly Father. You know, he says he inhabits the praises of his children. When we don't praise God under any circumstances, we are missing the greatest opportunity that we ever can. Now, my whole message this morning is not on praise, but praise is just under giving your heart to Jesus Christ. I mean, he is inhabiting it. Music to God and worship is everything, because what I have found out after being saved so many years, and I'm a worshiper. I mean, I'm going to worship God. If you give me two keys shaking, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to open my mouth, because I learned that God rides on sound. And when we put our mouth and our heart into something and we begin to worship our Father God, something starts happening spiritually, magically. We can't let somebody else do our worship. We can't let somebody else do our praise. Because God wants it to come from us. Why? Because we're the first fruit in his life. This is why he sent Judah, like I said. He sent them out first. Worshiping actually engrafts us into the spiritual realm of the Heavenly Father. You ever see burn victims and they take different parts off the body? And they say they engraft the skin over an area. Well, the more that we get engrafted, listen to me, family, in the things of God, you know what happens? The more healings come, the more deliverance come, the more we put Jesus first and engraft our hearts to his, the more greatness takes place. What? In the supernatural. See, what we're accustomed to is living in the natural realm. Amen? We do live in the natural realm. Am I correct? But the truth of the matter is, we got to move out of the natural and into the spirit. And family, listen to me, that don't take place just on Sunday morning. That don't take place just on Wednesday night. That takes place every day of our life. When our feet hit the floor. You know, I've had some bad days, family. But I'll tell you something. When I wake up, the first thing I do when I open my eyes, I give them praise. I give them praise. And it's not because things went so good the day before. Amen? It's not because everything is lining up the way Gloria Pruitt wants them to line up. But it's lined up because by faith, my mouth is being opened, and I'm giving God my praise, and I thank him. You can find something to praise God about. Can you say amen? But sound, the Bible says, came first, and it came through with a new sound. It came through, and listen, when I say a new sound, I'm not saying that there's anything new under the sun, but I'm saying a new sound can come out of us. It's a sound of our own worship. It's engaging in our spirit with the spirit of the Most High God today. If that's the new sound that God is looking for. You know what I found out? I'm telling you something. It's going to make you and I a pioneer in the spirit when we learn to actually worship the Lord. And you know how it starts? In your car. Oh, shandarobosata. It starts in when you're getting your makeup on in the morning. You're shaving off your beard. Hope that ain't to males and females, but just making a little joke. But the new sound has to come first, amen? And it's not an act of, it's not an act just necessarily in the flesh, but we can learn to ignite in our spirit man. Does it happen every time? I would say no. That's where faith kicks in. There's sometimes I can feel the presence of God and be at the grocery store, amen, and come in church, and it's not because the music isn't beautiful or the atmosphere isn't set, but the problem is maybe that's just not where I'm at today. So I've got to make sure that I put on my garment of praise, and I'm going to do it, amen. You know, it's an attitude of our heart. Look at your neighbor and say it's a heart thing. It takes training, friends. It does. It takes training. You know, it takes training to praise God, to enter into the battle. Like I said, some of you are in the battle today, but it takes training to do that. Some of you right now, without showing my hands, you're knee deep, deep up to your neck with situations and circumstances on the inside of you. But you know what? God is a deliverer. The Bible says God is the deliverer of them all. Say amen. I just want to share a quick testimony, and I'm looking at circumstances. I called a prophet this week. And I'm an analogy speaker. For those that sit under me know that. I always use little analogies to my sermons. And I can remember way back that when I first started having to wear glasses, I was telling Pastor Barb, I said, I used to be able to run upstairs and run down them. I mean like the wind. And it's not just because of age, but I'm talking about the way I viewed things. And one day when I was coming down the steps, I didn't realize that I was going into a phase where I needed glasses. And when I was going down the steps, I found myself taking one step down, two steps down, and on the third step, it disappeared. It disappeared. I couldn't see it. I'm like, whoa, that step is there. So, you know, I did it again. I took one step, and when I went to do it, the third step disappeared again. And so what the Lord showed me, a spiritual analogy to that is circumstances doesn't make it the truth. And I had to get to a place when I went down those stairs, I hung onto the railing, even though my mind knew that that third step was there, the circumstances was overwhelming to my brain. So when I went to take that third step, I had to literally hold onto that thing and feel for it. Then I realized after a season something wasn't right, and well, the end result was I got glasses. But I'm here to tell you, some of you are missing your third step. You're in a place in your walk with God where your circumstances, when you go to take that step of faith, you might take it one day, you might take it, and then the next day it disappears. But with God, the kingdom of God is alive, and it's powerful, and it's strong. And when you take that third step, it's there. It's there. Say it's there. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God when we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, we enter into that place by faith. And then when we step out in our circumstances, God is there. You're going to be so assured, because the more that you engraft your heart to God's heart, the more surety it becomes that that third step is there. But if you're just not reading your Bible and praying and you're not worshiping God, you're going to be stuck on the third step. And you're not going to be able to move past that third step because the circumstances are going to be way beyond where you need to be. Well, God, I'm here to tell you today, God is going to make that third step solid. Somebody say amen. God is all about a sure foundation. Hallelujah. But that's going to take our Judah to go up first, and it's not easy. When we were sent to Florida, and some of you have heard this testimony, but not on this one. We were sent to Florida back in 1989. It was short-lived. It was for 5 months. But God sent us there on assignment. Assignments are not always easy to follow, amen? Because we're used to our familiarity. And we love our familiarity, especially if it's good familiarity. But we landed in a church called Victory in Jesus. Little did we know on that journey that that church was loaded with prophets, prophetesses, and prophets. It was just the place where we needed to be because we didn't know. And it was there where we really found our landing of what our destiny was. But I want to share a little bit about that. It was a church, like I said. Now, you have to understand, like Bishop said, there's great music around the earth. There's great music on our platform. But when you come into a house of prophets and prophetess, things begin to change. Now listen, it's like in 1975 when we got saved, you couldn't even get the people in the church. There's seasons, say seasons, in our life where God will allow you to be. It doesn't mean that them seasons continue. So when we were sent there, that was for a season. And that season was to enter into the courts of God's praise and his worship, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the truth. They took that worship to a new level. Because not only were there prophets and prophetesses, there was prophets and prophetesses, I'm getting confused, but on the instruments. And there's a different sound that comes out when it's through that's through the prophets and prophets. I can't explain it, but it is. But like I said, that was just a thing that God allowed in our life. It was at that point where we began to see, and I liked what Pastor Barb said, because she said, you know, that visitation was here. But it took us to that new level in worship, on praise and worship, to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what it's about. I'm telling you, and this is the truth, the angels were manifested on the platform. Angels were, the touches of angels' wings were touching us physically. It was the greatest thing. I mean, the spirit was so, well, watch, what makes that different than a regular church? Not because God loves prophets and prophetesses more. It's because they understood what praise and worship was, to take us into that place of the Holy of Holies, where honestly you didn't have to worry about so much, well, I'm going to dress in my garment today and worship God. We entered into that wonderful place. I'm telling you, it was where angels not only manifested themselves, but I tell you, with all that's holy today, and if I don't tell you the truth, it's where demons cried out in the spirit. And we could actually physically hear them with our natural ear. It was where miracle signs and wonders happened. It was where people we did praise and worship for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, and nobody knew, nobody looked, nobody cared, because it was that divine appointment time. And God is calling us to divine appointment times in worshiping him and loving him. Am I telling you the truth, honey, what happened? I know it. Chains were broken. Lives were changed. Destinies were put into alignment. Hallelujah. Our destiny in that little church of 100 people or less was put in alignment to the calling that God had for us since 1975. Those that wait upon the Lord, see? Sometimes things take seasons, but God began to develop us. And I believe he put us in that church for one purpose, and that was to take it back to Beloit, Wisconsin, and to pave the way, because it was right there where Bishop was touched by Jesus to pioneer the way. Come on, somebody, for legacy. And now look at the legacy. Our son, our daughter, legacy is birthed. It birthed in what? A church of 100 people that knew how to get in the presence of God, that ushered in the Holy One of Israel, that took the music seriously, that took it and said, you know what? This is a privilege. It's an honor to usher in my Heavenly Father. Because I'm going to tell you something. It is a privilege. Say it's a privilege, somebody. It was there that the chains of familiarity were broken off of us to go to where we needed to go. Honey, do you remember? This might be a little embarrassing, but I remember one day in Victory in Jesus, we were praising God, and we were all sweaty. They couldn't even get the air conditioner to work because we were so many people jumping and having a hallelujah praise. But he was so, you know how he's kind of shy. He's reserved. He's just a little on the shy side, nothing like me or my daughter. But anyway, he was so deep into praise. The prophet's wife said, Jerry, God told me to tell you get up on this stage. And he's like, she says, and not only that, you're going to dance like David danced. Come on, somebody. Woo! You're going to dance like David danced. And he's like, oh, H to the no. I'm scared, you know. That can't happen. But you know what? I have to tell you something. He went up there, and the power of God fell on this man of God. Come on. And I can't even imagine him doing it. But when it's the real deal, amen. Barb, you remember that. Was you there when your dad went up? You can testify to that. Amen? I tell you what. Why? Because it was a breakthrough in the spirit. Woo! We're not going to lie dormant anymore. We're going to rise up in the spirit. It's got to rise in the spirit and end in the spirit, because without that, we're in big trouble. Number two, breakthrough believers know how to move out, and they're not afraid to do so. What do I mean? Persecution. Those that live godly will suffer persecution. But you know how fortunate we are, family, not to be beheaded, to be boiled, to be stuck in a sack with viper snakes, you know, to be tortured with our legs and arms being pulled away like that. Like in the book of Acts, somebody. Our persecution is somebody didn't speak to me today. I got an owie on my finger. Now, I'm making light of it, but you know what I'm saying. In comparisons, our injuries, our persecution are really on the small side, somebody. Amen? But persecution, you know, when persecution comes, we're going to be like, put them up, put them up. Why? Because we've been equipped in this house. We're not going to lay down. You guys are soldiers in the army of the Lord. You're warriors in the army of the Lord. And if you feel any different, you're missing that third step. That's all I can say. You're missing it. Hallelujah. The greater family, listen, we don't like it, but this is the truth. The greater the pressure, the more we move out in the anointing. Some of my deepest intimate times with my Father God was in my deepest sorrow. Because I found that when things are just going so, so, so good, you know what I'm saying? Money's up, health is everything perfect. You know, the dog didn't bite me last week. Everything is just great. You know what? I find, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But you know what? It don't center my spirit, man. It don't put me in the center focus of calling upon the Holy One of Israel, the one, the champion. You know, we move out under intense pressure. We don't run. We move out. We move out. We've got to grow up in the Spirit of God. We have to understand we can operate under intense pressure. Because why? The greater the heat, the more the quality of our lives. And I don't like it either. None of us like it. But champions aren't afraid to fight. Do we look forward to it? Like I said, oh no. But we move under pressure. If you're feeling that this morning, listen to me. If you're where you're not and you're battling things in the natural and you're battling things in your own strength, that is not the plan of God. That is not the heart of the Father. That's you taking ownership of your own life. Listen, God's not our co-pilot, people. God's our pilot. Woo, Shundai. He leads us in the path of righteousness. He leads us to that anointing. Just like a deer that panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Are we panting at the water? Oh, we need to pant. I need to pant more. Exodus 1:12 says the more they were afflicted, I won't go into that story, but you know the affliction of the Israelites were great. They were surmountable. They were slaves. They were tortured. They were persecuted. I mean, in the worst kind of ways. Every privilege they ever had was taken away from them. But in it, the Bible says the more they were afflicted. Say the more. Hey, listen, more means more. Amen. The more they were afflicted, the Bible says, the more they grew. You know, when you're afflicted, family, you have a chance and opportunity to grow. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me this morning? Pressure, and we all have heard this, takes a piece of coal into a diamond. And a diamond is a very, very hard piece of solid whatever, diamond. It's solid, you know. But I find out that today, we run from our Goliaths. But I'm telling you something, we need our Goliaths. Hey, don't be afraid to say it. I need my Goliath. You need your Goliath. I need Goliath. The church is in the love boat atmosphere. Things are just going too small, too successful for us. We're not at a place where we really need God anymore. We just kind of skate through as a church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. The universal church. We're just skating along. What's going to happen, sirrah, sirrah, today? Am I going to make it? I think I might. I think I might, like the little choo-choo train. I think I might. I think I can. I think I can. But thinking it ain't getting it. When the giants face you, it makes you strong in the Lord and the power of his might, so you won't be weak anymore. We cannot any longer. Jesus is about to return. That's a weak amen. Come on, I want to hear a strong amen. Again, Jesus is about to return. Now, I'm not saying it might be today or tomorrow, and I don't even believe that, but Jesus is the way maker, and he's coming closer as the day approaches. And you see it in the churches. You see the frivolous way that we live in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We live the way we want to live. Not according to the word, but we live the way we want to live. And God says, you know what? I want you to see me as the real deal. I can get you out of that circumstance. God's not the Wizard of Oz. God is the real deal here today. Somebody better give God a shout. God is the God who superimposes in our circumstances of life. He's the God of Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He wants to show off. And you know how he shows off, family? When we trust him, when we believe in him, when we say, you know what, beyond all circumstances, I'm going to believe God at every cost. God wants to shine because guess what? You're being watched. Not only God says, I'm looking to and fro. Starts with him. What is he looking for? Those that will be faithful in his kingdom. Okay? Does he love you? Yes. Does he love me? Yes. But every day he's Gloria, am I proud of you today? Are you doing what's righteous? Are you doing what's right? Because you know what? I don't always do what's right. I don't carry a big R on my, thank you, Jesus, that God is the righteousness of God in Christ. But I'm saying I'm going to do all I can to do what's right, but I don't always make the right decisions. I don't always have the right attitude. I don't always follow the perfect will of God in my life. I struggle just like you guys do. But the thing is, are we recognizing that he wants to bring glory to the earth through us? Because when we are obedient and when we succumb to the anointing of our Father, what happens is, how do we brag on Jesus? We brag on him by our lifestyle. You see, we're the only ones, family, that are going to represent. We are the body of Christ. And when others see us, you know, I don't pick on anybody in the pulpit, but you know, when things happen in the pulpit in America, think about that, what happens to the body of Christ. When sin happens in the pulpits of America and you find out they're stealing money from the church. And I'm not naming names. Believe me, this has been forever, okay? Or they're living in sin with a mistress. Or they're having homosexual acts when they're married and have children. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you think that's bragging on Jesus? Actually, what happens when there's from the anointing, from the pulpit, everything flows down. What happens to men of God happens to you. So a man of God has to even be one step above, and a woman of God that stands in the pulpit, because we must speak the truth. It doesn't make us perfect, but it makes us stand in a different light in which God has called us out. Amen? Because otherwise the blood of Jesus will be on our hands if we don't tell you the truth. You know, I said to somebody once, they came in my office and they were in a multitude of sin. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care. You believe that? I love people no matter what. You see, you don't have to measure to me. You have to measure up to God's word. I have to take a measure to God's word. So I said to him, it doesn't matter to me. I love you regardless. You see, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm not holding that over your head. That's why they got erasers on pencils. Amen. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to the word and say, does this line up with your lifestyle? Does this line up with where you are? Because how many this year, you can give me a little wave, has been through some hell? Yeah, I think all of us, majority of us this year. But we'll begin to thank the Lord, you know. And remember the story, and you guys know it so well, so I'm not going to really go into it, but the story of David with the sling. And just like that, the Lord sees what's in your hand. The Lord sees what's in your heart. The Lord sees what's in your mouth. And again, I've said this so many times, but, you know, David didn't kill the Goliath. The power of God, the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, just like a little missile that you see. It targets. He targeted through the anointing. But he used David's hand to defeat the enemy. That's why it's so important for you to say, I have to take ownership of my life. It belongs to God, but I've got to use my mouth and what's in my hand to make that happen. Somebody else can't do that battle for you. Somebody else can't speak that into existence for you. Only God can. You know, so to bring that place of purpose on the planet Earth, we've got to realize that, you know, that it's not just about, let me just backtrack a minute. It's not just about climbing a corporate world. Amen? Is God all about blessing us in the city and in the marketplace. Of course he is. But you know what? If that's what our thrust is here today, is just to do, to make money, bigger houses, bigger cars, I'm going to tell you something. I've had little and I've had much. And none of it to me matters outside of God. And only those that know me and know my husband know us. No, we've given away houses. We've given away cars. We've seeded in hundreds of thousands and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to the kingdom way before we were pastors. Listen to me. That don't have a hold on us. What has a hold on us is I want to be a champion in God's eyes. I want to fulfill the promises that God has for me. And not just for things. A better life. What is the better life is when we serve the Lord and give him glory and praise him. Amen. To be a champion, we got to be examples, family, to the sphere, amen, of where we're at. If you're in your workplace, are you being an example? If you're at home, you know, sometimes the home can be like the most relaxed place for all of us, and I'm included, where we can just, you know, let our hair down and speak the way we want. I'm not talking about cussing, but I'm just saying we can let it all out, amen? We're all capable of doing it or having attitudes or whatever. Because why? Because we're not being seen by man. Then we put our big smiles on when it comes church day. But the thing is, it starts in your home. It starts in the sphere of where you are. You know, it's to live godly in front of our children and our children's children. That's what I like. To be a champion, I'm talking about, Kate, you're going to have to walk by faith. Walk by faith, amen. Talk like faith. I love that. Giving by faith. There's so many things that we need to do. You know, how many want to finish the course? I know you all do. I know you. Most of you, I know you. You want to finish your course, and that's what makes me so proud about you today. And you know what makes me proud, too? Can I just say it? That you allow me to speak freely into your heart with no condemnation. You know, when you love people, I was saying on my... We do a little program on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Facebook. Some of you see us, some of you don't. But I talked about, you know, living the life of an example. And to really, I can't stand before you, listen to me, and preach something I don't struggle with and fight for the cause. Otherwise, I feel like a hypocrite. And I told them, I said, you know, every battle that you go through, we go through too. Only more surmountable because of the position in which we hold. So, see, we're all together. Say together. You know, I'm not above you. Bishop's not above you. All we are is out in front of you, leading and speaking the word of God of truth. And you know what? If you want to be a champion, you got to take it, you know, put the big girl and boy pants on. Amen? I know you do, and I believe in you, and I know God does. Please stand to your feet with me.